Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are, though, in our brand new series that is actually going to lead us all the way up to Christmas Eve. And this whole series is for us to see that God is with us. He always has been. He always will be. And when it comes down to it, one of the biggest lies we believe is that we are alone. We say things like, well, there is no God because I can't feel him. There is no creator because I can't see it. There is no plan or purpose in my life. There is nothing that has been made just for me in this existence, and I just need to figure it out. And the reason that people think this is because they cannot see that God is right here. It's because you're missing it, because you're walking away, because you're doing your own thing. But as followers of Christ, we know that God is here, that God is with us, and we know this because we read it right here in the Bible, right here in his word. We have this today for us. This book here is not because God says he needs a reminder, okay? It's not for him so he can do something when he's bored, okay? That's not what it's about. This book here, it is for us so we can see what he has done and we can see what he will do, and it will also help us live this life for him. And the biggest lie that we're going to crush is that question that people say, are we alone? We are not alone. And where we're going to start is the very beginning. We have to go all the way back to the very beginning of everything. And so we're going to turn to Genesis 1:1. So when I said beginning, I meant it. It's literally the very beginning. So from the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. And I know some of you already are saying, I already know Genesis 1:1. Some of you aren't even going to have to read the words. You're going to know it. But that's okay. So we're going to talk about Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'll see you all next week. Many know this verse by heart. In the beginning, God created everything, the heavens and the earth. It seems so simple, but it is the most amazing thing to happen in all of existence. There was nothing, and God, the Almighty, the Creator, the only one who is good, who is gracious and loving, he made the heavens and the earth. If you really take that in, instead of just glossing over, yeah, he did it all. No, he did it all. It's an amazing thing to understand what he did. And if you keep reading through Genesis 1, you'll read that he created everything in detail. But the simple truth is, this was all made, and it was all made with a purpose, and it was made, and it was good. We have to understand that too. When God made everything, it was good. God did the impossible by making everything out of nothing. He made the light and the dark. He made the water and the land. He made all the plants. He made the sun and the moon and the stars. He made all the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. And then he made all the animals that walk on the ground. God made it all. Now, I know I have my strengths and my weaknesses, and I can sometimes be really creative, and then other times, I just can't picture it. Somebody says, can you just picture it now? And I'm like, no. I just don't have that in me. But anything I create is made with items and things that already exist. I just mold them into different forms. And I assure you that not everything that I create is good, okay? I know I just crushed some people's thoughts on me. Not everything I create is good. And you may be saying, ah, John, you know, that's not true. I'm gonna tell you right now, I have made some food that you would not eat, okay? It was unedible, and I've made cake without sugar. Mistakes were made, okay? It was just a brick of flour. It was terrible. It was not good. I have made art that when I have finished and I've stepped back and I looked at it and I go, I don't even know what this is. I'm not sure what happened here, but things went wrong. But we see that God took things that did not exist, and he made this universe and everything in it, and it was awesome. It was perfect. It was amazing. And then we find out the last thing that he made was us. But he made us a little differently. And we're going to go ahead and turn to Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Genesis 1, 26 through 31. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day." The reason we have to look over this is because we were created differently. Not to be like the animals, not to be like the trees, not to be like anything else in all of creation. It says that God made us, humans, you and I, in his image. We have the ability to choose. We have amazing aspects in our lives, like the ability to love, to truly love someone. We're able to be creative, not to just do this one thing that you're made to do like a robot, but you have this choice to actually go out and create where you feel led. And we read that when he made us, it was good, meaning that he was glad that he made us. He didn't mess up. It wasn't like, "I tried to make another animal and it just turned out to be you, so I guess it's good." No, he meant to make us the way he did. He didn't accidentally put a little too much sass into people, okay? We have that in us. You are created and you are loved all the way back to the beginning. And when we look at Adam and Eve, we walked with him. We were literally with God. There was no separation at all. He would stand right next to you. You could see him. You could feel him. You could just be right in his presence. And we're going to go ahead and read that in the next chapter. Genesis 2, 4 through 25. Genesis 2, 4 through 25. I know this is a big chunk of verses, but we're going to talk about what's being said here. It says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters." I'm going to mess up some of the names. I'm just going to let you know now. So, "The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Again, there's a lot to take in there. But we see, again, that God has created man. It was not an accident. He breathed life right into us. But what I really love is verse 15. Because God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden. For what? It was a purpose. It is to work in God's creation and to take care of it. God gave us his creation and said, "I have something I want you to do for me, a place of honor. You are going to rule above all right here. I want you to take care of this." I think one of the funniest things I have ever heard is someone told me once that they think they would have hated to be in the Garden of Eden. And I'm sitting there thinking this through and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're with God. It probably was gorgeous and great. The food had to be amazing. The best fruit you have ever tasted in your life. And they looked at me and said, "Yeah, but I would be so bored." Huh? You get to be in the presence of God. You get to walk and talk with the one who created everything out of nothing. You can feel his goodness and love just radiating off of him. And then God says, "I've got a job for you. I want you to be in charge of my creation." I do not think boredom was the downfall of man. It was our internal struggle to try and be in control. That's what it comes down to. It's our pride. It's our search for power. And that is why God says, "Do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." It was not to push us down. It is not to keep us from having what some call fun. Another person said to me, "You know what? I don't want to be a Christian because being a Christian is so boring. You can't do any of the fun things." Well, I've talked to thousands of people about their lives, and I know what people consider fun, and I have heard how that's not really working out in their lives. Things are leaving you empty. You're wanting more. It's because it's not about fun. You're going to have an amazing time when you're serving God. You're going to feel so full and joyous and in peace, all because you're following God. No, the reason that God didn't want us to eat from the tree is because God wanted us to find our purpose, our fulfillment, our love and goodness, all from him. This tree here, yes, it can give you knowledge, but you are going to find fulfillment in me. And so what he says is, "I want you to glorify me. I want you to serve me and just stay away from that. You don't need it." And he even tells us there's a warning. He says, "I want you to not do this, because if you do, you will die." It's not like a giant red button, okay? I'm that person. You put me in a room with a giant red button, don't say anything to me, and it just says, "Do not push." It's not going to be long till I walk up, and I'm going to be like, "What happens if I do push the button? Like, is this going to go okay?" You know, they've done experiments where they throw people in a room, like 10 people in a room with a big red button. It just says, "Do not push." Eventually, someone's going to push the button. Someone's going to do it. And it's because they weren't told what would happen. The curiosity got to them. But if you were thrown in this room with a big red button and it says, "Do not push," and they said, "If you push it, there will be dire consequences that you will die," I'm not pushing that button. If anything, I trip a lot. I'm going to stand far away in the corner so I don't accidentally fall into the big red button. And I would love to say that with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that Adam and Eve, they stayed away. They said, "Oh, we got the warning. We hear you, God. That's great." Because we're all sitting in the Garden of Eden right now, right? No, sadly, that's not the way it worked out. They had to know. They wanted to see what would happen. And that's one of the biggest problems with the freedom of choice. It means that we can choose to do what is right, but that also means that we can choose to do what is wrong. And we're going to go ahead and read Genesis 3, 1 through 13. Genesis 3, 1 through 13. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" So as we know, Adam and Eve were told by God, this is the one who created everything from nothing, the one who created us differently to choose to work and to live for him, the one who said, "Do not eat from this tree, follow this command, or it's going to turn out really bad for you." What happens? They eat from the tree. We do exactly what we're told not to do. And what does Eve do? She blames the serpent and says, "Well, he lied to me." And you may sit back and say, "Yeah, that's not her fault. She was lied to. Someone coerced her." But she knows what God said to her. You read it before she even eats the apple. Not an apple, fruit. Let me get that right. Before she eats the fruit. She says, "God told me not to eat from the tree in the center." She knows what's right. So who are you going to listen to? The creator of everything, or that weird lizard thing that's telling you something else? Let's be honest. It all came down to she wanted to do it. She wanted to know what would happen. She saw that it was pleasing to the eye, and I can gain some wisdom. Why would this be bad? I know God told me not to do it, but how could this be bad? It looks good. So she chose to find out what's going to happen when she eats from the tree. And now some of the men are going, "Yeah, it's the woman's fault." That's not true. And it's so interesting to me, the love of his life, made from his rib, from his own body. He instantly goes, "She did it. It's her fault. She gave it to me." Again, Adam knew what was right and what was wrong. He chose. He wanted to know as well. God said no. And he was thinking, "Well, what's the worst that could truly happen?" And this is our exact same response today. We sit around and we say, "You know what? I need to do what I think will be good and pleasing. I know that things here will not satisfy, but if I make enough money, then I'll be good to go. If I could just have that perfect job, if I could find the perfect partner, if I just keep drinking my sorrows away, if I keep using that drug that's going to numb it all, if I do all these things that I think will make me happy, then I'm going to feel fulfilled, and I'm going to feel like I have a purpose in this life." But I have talked to so many that have struggled throughout this life, and they are always empty and lost. It's always hollow. It's always lacking. There's always something missing. And when we are doing these things, it's because God is not with us. It's not that God has left us, but we are walking away from him to do whatever we think will make us happy. God is here. God is with us. You're wandering in the dark, in the forest, lost and feeling alone. And God is saying, come to me, follow me. If you keep reading, we see the consequences of the actions. God curses the serpent. I guess at one point it had legs, but now doesn't. So there we are with that. We read how men and women will now struggle and have lots of extra pains. Thank you so much, Adam and Eve, for that. I love that part of it. But what else happened is what we're going to read here in verses 23 and 24. So Genesis 3, 23 and 24, it says, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed him on the east side of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Sin has been introduced in the world, and God says, you cannot be here anymore. This beautiful, perfect place that I have created for you, you no longer can be here because you have sin now. And we see that God keeps men and women from being able to live forever on this planet. We no longer can eat from the tree of life. And you may be thinking, that seems kind of harsh. Does that actually like fit? So the punishment fits the crime? Because it seems kind of mean that now we have to die. We think it's something horrible that God has done. But I want to tell you now, death, it's the opposite of horrible. Death is actually a blessing. The perfect world that was here, the perfect life, the life where there is literally no separation between us and God, that life is gone. We can no longer have that because we have sin. There is sin in us. There is sin in the world. So God did something amazing for us. He allows us to leave this planet. He allows us to die. This is not eternal. But when we leave here, we get to be with him. We see death as some sort of punishment, but it's not. Death is us leaving here to go back to the way it was supposed to be reunited with God for all eternity. There is no pain. There is no sin. There is no separation. When I read that verse where it says that God was walking through the garden in the cool of day, I can picture it, that he is here with us in that moment. And when we leave here, we will get to do that again. But that brings up a question. So am I saying that we have to suffer on this earth without God till we die? And answer is no, because God has still not left us. He did not leave Adam and Eve and their children to just do whatever they can. He didn't kick them out of the garden and say, good luck, kids, I'll see you when you die. That's not what happened. When you read Genesis 4, we see that things have changed, but God is still there. God now is asking for sacrifices for our sins to make us clean so we can be with him. But we read in chapter 4 on multiple occasions that God is talking directly still to Adam and Eve's children. Even after one of the children murders the other, God is speaking with him, saying, what have you done? He is there. Even though they messed up, even though they fell hard, God is making a way to be with us. And that's not just for Adam and Eve and their children. That's what this whole sermon series is about, is that God has always been with us. We sometimes can't see it. We're going to look at how God has never left us. All the things that he has done, it has been for us to be with us. I heard a really awesome explanation of the Bible. And they said, this Bible here is the greatest love story ever told. And it's God pursuing us over and over and over again. If you've ever read through this, you'll see that God says, this is what I want. This will be good. This will be helpful. We can be together. And then we mess it up. And God says, okay, next plan. Okay, we're going to do it this way. You can follow me here. I will be with you. And it's going to be awesome and great. And for a moment, it usually is good until we decide to do whatever we want. And then God says, okay, let's try another way. And then on Christmas Eve, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, that was the last one where God said, I got this. I'm going to be with you. And we have so many verses that remind us of this as well. So I'm only going to pull one from the Old Testament and from the New Testament to show you that God transcends time, that he's always been there. This is a verse that a lot of people know. You're going to know this prayer. We're going to pull out one verse, and that's Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Meaning that when you are in your lowest of lows, when you are in the darkness and you see no hope, you can be rest assured that God is with us through it all. And then when you pull from the New Testament, this is one of my favorite verses. We've gone over this a couple different times here at Buckeye. It's Romans 8, 38 and 39. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in all of creation can separate you from God. So when you are feeling alone, if you feel like you have no purpose, I'm here to tell you that God is the only answer, and he is here. Seek the truth about him. This goes for those who are hearing about him for the first time and those who have been following him for most of their lives. It does not matter. We need a reminder that God is here. We become so busy, so distracted that we forget that God is here, that you were made with a purpose, and that he loves you. And that brings me to the challenge for this week, because God is with us. We need to stop walking away from him, and we need to start running towards him. Life can be hard. There's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of problems. And God is with us. How can we start running towards him this week? Go to him and pray. That's you talking to him. Read his word, the Bible right here. This is how he will speak to you. Sing praises to him about how amazing, awesome, and wonderful he is. And talk about him. Talk about him with your friends. Talk about him with your family. Talk about him with your group of Christian friends. Always have him on your heart and your mind. This season can be so busy. Make time to be with God. He's here because he is pursuing you. God is with us. Do not forget.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.